Shabbos Daf Nun Zayin. We are beginning the sixth parak of the Masechta, and this parak is dedicated to the topic of what a woman may or may not walk out with on Shabbos. Like the previous parak where we discussed what exactly an animal can go out with on Shabbos and what an animal cannot go out with on Shabbos, so this parak is also going to be running along the same theme, obviously discussing that of women, as opposed to the previous parak. Now, in the previous parak, the delineation between what an animal can and cannot go out with on Shabbos is very simple. Whatever is servicing the animal and there to protect the animal is something that the animal can go out with on Shabbos. And therefore, harnesses, leashes, and anything that services the animal and protects the animal is something that an animal is allowed to go out with on Shabbos. Anything which is a burden to the animal, not protecting the animal, so that is something that an animal cannot go out with on Shabbos. The owner of the animal has an obligation to make sure that his animal rests on Shabbos, and therefore, if it qualifies as a burden, so that would constitute carrying on Shabbos, and therefore the animal cannot go out with that on Shabbos. Over here in our parak, so we are going to be discussing what a woman can and cannot go out with on Shabbos, but the delineation over here is going to be much more subtle than in the previous parak. In this parak, everything that we're going to be describing are tachshitin. They're all ornaments, jewelry worn by a woman. Some of them a woman can go out with, and some others a woman cannot go out with. And the difference between them are going to be much more subtle. And in just a little bit, we're going to try to paint the parameters in terms of what exactly a woman can versus cannot go out with on Shabbos. Challenges of this parak are going to be manifold. One is that just like in the previous parak we were discussing items that are used for the animal, over here we're going to be discussing jewelry for the women. You would think that we would have some better idea of what the Mishnayos and the Gemara are talking about. However, we are obviously going to be limited because times have changed, dress has changed, and so many of the things that are being described in the Mishnah are just simply foreign to us. We've never seen them. So one of the challenges of our Mishnah and the Gemara is going to be just simple definition of what these items are. Another challenge that this parak presents is, as I pointed out just moments earlier, is exactly trying to give voice to what are the rules in terms of what a woman can versus cannot go out with. Meaning the Mishnah and the Gemara are going to give us many examples, but what exactly are the rules that are guiding these examples? So that also is going to be a bit of a challenge. And the third, let's call it a challenge, but the third overarching issue of this parak is going to be that there is a major discussion, and I will show you a Tosfos later in the parak, not today, but later in the parak, that's going to try to explain why it is that Klal Yisrael have, for the most part, ignored all of these gzeiros derabbanan, meaning all these items that are mentioned in the Mishnah and in the upcoming Gemara that a woman cannot go out with. So it seems to be that Klal Yisrael as a whole, for centuries, already in the time of the Rishonim, have just basically generally have, quote-unquote, forgotten these Mishnayos and this Gemara. They haven't forgotten it, but they justify in terms of why it is that women nowadays can go out with jewelry on Shabbos. And so as much as we are going to be spending time going through the Gemara and going through the Shach Levitaria, but at the same time, there is this idea that this particular Gezerah has kind of fell by the wayside, and it is not totally clear why that is. And later, at least I'll show you a Tosfos that tries to give voice to why it is that we no longer abide by many of these Gezerahs that are mentioned in this parak. With all that stated, we are now ready to begin the Mishnah. We are on the very top of Nazayin Amad Aleph. B'mei isha yotza v'ma ino yotza. What can a woman go out with on Shabbos, and what can she not go out with on Shabbos? Lo seitze isha. A woman cannot go out with lo b'chute tzemer v'lo b'chute pishtam v'lo b'rutzu sheberosha. The various strings that are tied into her hair. Strings made out of wool, strings made out of linen, and also ritzuos, presumably made up of leather, that are tied into her hair. Women cannot go out with them on Shabbos. V'lo titbal behem ad shetirapeim. She cannot tovel into the mikvah until she looses these items. This seems to be a non sequitur in the Mishnah, and the Gemara, in just a moment, the first point the Gemara is going to make is it's going to bridge the two points of the Gemara, because truth of the matter is that this line regarding tefillah is directly related to the first point of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to clarify that. What is the issue over here? Why can a woman not go out with these strings in her hair? So take a look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. I'm reading the Havitachshit. Rashi says that these items are in fact jewelry, v'lo masui, and it's not a burden. V'ika the Havitachshit. Now, some of these items are in fact jewelry, v'gazer be'rabbanan, and despite the fact that they're tachshit, they're still going to be gzeirah derabbanan. Already, right away, you see that unlike in the previous parak, where the differentiation was whether it is considered an article of clothing or it's considered a masui, over here in our parak, that which is permitted and that which is prohibited are both going to be tachshit, and yet the Chachamim made gzera on some of these items. Now Rashi points out over here, continuing in the Rashi, v'gazer b'rabban d'ma shafei u'machvei l'chaverta chashivusa v'd'ma asei lasui adala amos. The problem is, explains Rashi, is that she may take off the item in order to show it off to her friend, because these are items of significance, and after she has taken it off and showed them to her friend, she will have forgotten that it's in her hand. She's going to be walking, carrying Dala Amos Bershus Arabim. So because of this concern, so therefore the Chachamim made Gzera on some of the clothing that she cannot go out with these clothing. That is Rashi, and in fact Rashi will repeat that in just a moment, a little bit later on the Mishnah. Let's continue in the Mishnah. V'loba totafos, v'loba sarvitin. A woman cannot go out, neither with totafot or sarvitin. Both of these will be defined in the Gemara, so we'll wait for the Gemara in order to give definition. Bizman she'en and tfurim, that's only when they are not sewn in, they're not stitched into her cap. V'loba kavul, rishos harabim. She cannot go out with a kavul into the rishos harabim. We're going to, in a moment, highlight why the Mishnah there says not into a Rishos Rabim. V'lo bi'ir shel zav, v'lo bi'katla. She cannot go out with a city of gold. It was some sort of ornament. The Gemara later on will give more definition of what that is. And she cannot go out with a katla. V'lo b'nezamim. She cannot go out with nezamim. Nezamim over here in the Mishnah is nose rings. That will become clear later on, and we'll discuss more about this later on. V'lo b'ta'aba she'en ala chosam. She cannot go out with a ring if it does not have a signet. V'lo b'macha she'en a nekuva. She cannot go out with a needle if it does not have an eye in it. V'im yatza eino chayev echatas. But now if she goes out with any of the aforementioned items mentioned in the Mishnah, so she's not chayev karban chatas. Now why is she not chayev karban chatas? So we go back to the Rashi. The Rashi taught us at the beginning that all these things are in fact articles of clothing. And the only reason why you cannot go out with these items on Shabbos is because of gzeira derabanan. So she in fact goes out with them on Shabbos, so she will be violating the gzeira derabanan, which of course is usher, but she will not be bringing a carbon chatos because she is not violating the malacha of hotza'ah. In order to violate the malacha of hotza'ah, you have to be carrying a masui into the rishos harabim. These aren't masui, these are all tachshit, and these are all articles of jewelry. Now, regarding the kavul, all these items we're going to be discussing in much greater definition when we go through the Gemara. Gemara will be spending a lot of time with all these articles, but just for a moment, let's just focus on the kavul for just a moment. Whatever the kavul may be, and that's going to be open for a discussion and debate in the Gemara. In fact, we're going to see that in just a little while. But Rashi says over here, why at this point in time is the Mishnah saying that the kavul cannot be worn into the Rishos HaRabim, with the clear implication that it can be worn within the Chatzer? And in no other item mentioned in the Mishnah do you get that implication. In fact, in all other items in the Mishnah, it just simply says that a woman cannot wear them while going outside. And presumably that would mean even in the chatzer. But when it comes to the kavul, she could wear it within the chatzer. So Rashi writes over here, L'Rishos Rabim Aval Chatzer Shari. Rashi notes over here that the kavul could be worn within the chatzer. V'chol haniskar l'mala asurim af l'chatzer. All everything else mentioned in the Mishnah cannot even be worn in the chatzer. Shema targil m'Rishos Rabim. And as far as all other items are concerned, she can't even go out with them into the chutzah, because once you get into the custom of wearing them into the chutzah, you're going to end up wearing them into the Rishos HaRabim as well. Now Rashi takes us to later on in Daf Samach Daleh, where the Gemara there is going to explain, so why is a kavul allowed to be worn within the chatzer? Because if the Chachamim made a gzera where she cannot wear any of her jewelry or any of her ornaments out into even the chatzer, so it's going to be too onerous, and the woman's not going to feel that she has maintained any of her beauty left and any of her jewelry left, and it'll just be too hard. And on top of that, she won't be attractive to her husband. So as a result of that, so the Chachamim gave even within the Gzeira Derabanan, a certain allowance, a certain dispensation, in order to make the woman feel that she still has some ability to wear some sort of jewelry, albeit on a limited basis, only within the Chatzer. But explains Rashi, that's why the kavul could be worn within the Chatzer, while all other items mentioned in the Mishnah cannot even be taken out and worn within the Chatzer. There is obviously a lot to cover within the course of the Mishnah. We start with the Gemara, Tefillah, Man Dekar Shmei. So the first point the Gemara is going to make now is, what does Tefillah have anything to do with the first point mentioned in the Mishnah? The Mishnah just simply started off by saying that a woman cannot go out with these strings that are tied within her hair, braided, woven within her hair, the strings of wool, the strings of linen, and also ritsuo, some other types of strings as well, cannot be worn into her hair. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe, and by the way, if she goes to the mikveh, she has to loosen them when she goes to the mikveh, seemingly a non sequitur. So the Gemara goes on to explain, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rava Bar Avua, Mat Ha'am Kamar. Now, you didn't understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is giving explanation. Ma Tam Lo Seitze Isha, Lo B'chutei Tzemer, V'lo B'chutei Pishtan. Why is it that a woman cannot go out with the strings of wool and linen tied into her hair? It's because the Chachamim said, because even during the weekday, if she were to go to the mikvah, they would pose a chatzitza, they would be a barrier, and thereby preventing the mikvah from being a good tefillah. And so therefore, she's going to have to loosen them when she goes to the mikvah. And since during the week she has to loosen them, so b'Shabbos lo seitzei, then she cannot walk out with them on Shabbos. Why? Because what may end up happening is that on Shabbos, Friday night, she may have an opportunity to go to the mikvah. Obviously, women are allowed to go to the mikvah even on Shabbos, even though we already spent earlier in the Masechta Daf Mem discussing how one is not allowed to bathe on Shabbos, but nevertheless, going to the mikvah is in fact mutter. Rashi over here points it out, the Gemara in Beitza. Women can go to the mikvah on Friday night. We all know this. And because these are things that need to be loosened, vishar yilahu, so then these items, these woven linen wool that is in her hair is going to have to therefore be loosened. Va'asilat vina del amas b'rishos rabim. Now when she's going to the mikvah, so presumably she's going to have to walk through rishos rabim, and she may end up carrying these items while going through the rishos rabim. So all these are now interconnected. The reason why she can't go out with them is because there is a chance that she'll have to go to the mikvah, and as a result of that, have to loosen, take off these items, and then end up carrying them dal amas brishos harabim, which is the gzera behind all these items back in the Mishnah. Now, let us take a moment to stop in the Gemara, because the Gemara is about to engage in a discussion that's related, but here's a good opportunity to pause, and let's take a look now together at a Tosfos. Tosfos over here now wonders. And that is as follows. The Mishnah over here pointed to a number of items that a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos because of fear that she may show it off to her friend. Now, obviously, there has to be a limit. There has to be a point where we're obviously not going to be making a gzera on everything that a woman wears. That point is obvious. But even within jewelry, it certainly sounds like not all jewelry is covered by this gzera. Now, the easiest way to make this point is simply because if it were just simply all jewelry that were covered by this gzera, so then the Mishnah would just simply say a woman cannot go out with any jewelry, period. And then you want to talk maybe about the kavul, how the kavul could be worn within the chaser but not in the rishos harabim. Okay, fine. But in other words, well, the Mishnah over here is going specifically piece by piece, jewelry by jewelry, and so it's clear now that it applies to some jewelries and not to other jewelries. Okay, good. But it's good, but at the same time, however, what's the svara behind it? How come it is that there is differentiation even within jewelry itself? And again, you can't say that certain jewelries are a tachshit and others are a masur. They're all tachshit. Everything falls under the category of something which is ornamental and something which is decorative and something which qualifies as clothing. So it is hard to understand now why the Mishnah says that specifically these pieces of jewelry. And here now Tosos is going to make the effort, the attempt to try to give voice to how it is that these things fit into certain categories. And so in Tosos, in the first Tosos of the Perek, we're going to be starting now about 10 lines down, v'im tomar. It's towards the end of the line of Tosa. V'im tomar mehay tama tehe isha asur la teis betalis. So a woman can't go out with a talis. Talis over here, Tosos must be referring to some sort of ornamental cape that's worn by a woman. Da'hava de'shari le b'shas vila. For sure, she's going to have to take it off when she tovas in the mikvah. V'nechush dilma asi la'asuye. And so the cape is going to have to come off when she goes to the mikvah. And as we just learned, the strings are banned from being worn because she's going to have to take them off when she goes to the mikvah. Same thing is true with the cape. And again, so Tosfos over here is wondering, why are only certain items covered in this gzera d'rabbanan and other items are not? V'yesh lamar. So Tosfos now proposes the following. D'bidvarm she'im ikar mabush leik alamigzar dafil b'chol ein derech aleches klal mimkomo ad she'il b'shem. So Tosfos says that those items which are ikar mabush, which are essential clothing items, so there's not going to be any gzera during the week. A woman wouldn't dare walk out or move from any place to another without having these articles of clothing totally fastened to her. Ela dafka b'dvarim ketanim. So Tosfos says that first and foremost, the items that are mentioned in the Mishnah that fall under the gzera are only items that are smaller in nature. Yesh lachu she'ein makpid im einam alav. So therefore, if a woman, let's say, doesn't walk around with the items wearing secure to her, it won't bother her. Ad beso. And sometimes if a woman is going to be detaching one of these small ornamental items, so it's very likely that she's basically going to keep them in her hand and walk home. And only when she gets home, she's going to put them back on. So the Ri says that basically we're going to file something under three general concerns that the Chachamim had. One, I read it quickly, but let's go back and reread them. One, women will take them off, laharoso. A woman's going to take it off because she wants to show it off to her friends, meaning these are really nice, small pieces of jewelry. And as she passes her friend, she's going to want to show it off to her friend, so that'll prompt her to want to take it off. Two, says Tosus Mishum Chatzitza. Or maybe it's not so nice, it's not so beautiful, however, it needs to be removed before she goes to the mikvah, like the ritzuos, like the straps that we just described. Or three, says Tosus Mishum Kpeda. Or maybe because she doesn't want it on her. Now, Tosus over here describes Kpeda. Obviously, Kpeda over here has nothing to do with Chatzitza, because that was number two. So Tosus must be describing something where basically it's embarrassing for her to wear it, and it should be called out for it. And so therefore, she's going to be tempted to take it off. We'll go over examples later on exactly what falls under this third example of Kpeda. So Tosus writes, in these cases, Shelo Lasis Deshema Kishiyasir Yishkach Shu Shabbos V'asir Le'yusuyeh. So if anything falls under any one of these three categories, and again, Tosfos says it has to be small items, non-essential clothing items, right, strictly ornamental, and smaller in nature. And if any one of these three motivations are going to motivate her from removing it, so the Chachamim made gzera on these three categories of items. Something, says Tosfos, where a woman would not dare going move around without it, or doesn't fall under any one of the three categories which we just described. So if a woman wants to tie and untie them on Shabbos in a Rishos Rabbim, she may do so because of Chachamim. We're not concerned that she may end up just absentmindedly just walking with the item for Amos within a Rishos Rabbim. So says Tosus, in terms of trying to give voice and categorize what exactly falls under the Gezerah and what does not fall under the Gezerah. We're going to go back to the Gemara. Ba'mine Rav Kahana me Rav. The Gemara asks the following question. Rav Kahana asks from his Rebbe Rav. Tiche chalit demai. So the Gemara now is asking some sort of weave that was worn on the hair. Now, exactly what it is, so again, like I pointed out in the beginning of the parak, it's going to be challenging. These are items where we can try to describe them, but we don't have any experience with these items. So we are going to be limited, or let's say better, I'm going to be limited in terms of giving good descriptions of what they are. But anyway, there's some sort of weave. So Amalei Ari Kamart, so he says, Rav Kahana's response, Rav's response to Rav Kahana is, we're talking about a woven item. Kol Shu Arig Lo Gazru, anything which is a woven item, the Chachamim did not make a gzera. Meaning, and we'll see why in just a moment. It Marnami, the Gemara quotes as well, Amar Avuna Bereder of Yeshua, Kol Shu Arig Lo Gazru. Anything which is woven, the Chachamim did not make a gzera. Now, V'Igida Amri, Amar Avuna Bereder of Yeshua, Chazino Lachvasei. The Gemara says that Rav Huna says the following, I used to witness my sisters, the Lo Kapten Alayhu, that they weren't makbid, meaning that they kept it on, any of these woven items. Okay, now, basically, he's saying the same thing. And that is that when his sisters went to the mikvah, now, it's a little bit strange that he's making this observation, but when his sisters went to the mikvah, they weren't makbid, meaning they kept it they kept it on at all times, even when they went to the mikvah. Now, why is it that there's no gzera regarding woven items? So if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi says that we're back to the chatzitza issue, meaning that these are woven items that are worn on their head and there's no chatzitza. Why? Because these items are woven items, so just simply by the nature of the fabric and the fact that it was woven is now going to speak to the idea that it can't be put on tightly. And if it can't be put on tightly, it's a loose connection. So there's no problem with chatzitza. Chatzitza is only when there's going to be that the fabric is tied so tightly to the body that the water cannot go in between the fabric and the skin. But over here, because it's woven and because a woven item cannot be fixed tightly to the skin, so therefore there's going to be ample room for water to get between them. That is a simple reading of the Gemara, a simple understanding of the Gemara. That's what Rashi says. Now, the truth of the matter is, we made this point already numerous times over. We had the first way to say it over, is that Kol Shu Arig Lo Gazru. Now, in the Ikedarmi, in the second version, it said that I saw my sisters and they weren't makpid. They didn't care, meaning they went to the mikveh with the items on. Now, the truth of the matter is, it sounds awfully similar to one another. My ika bein haich lishna uvein haich lishna. There's got to be some sort of difference between the first way we said it and the second way we said it. Ika bein nayu, the Gemara says there is going to be a subtle difference between them. Ditani fun. Let's say that these woven items were also dirty. Lahach lishna nama koshu arig lo gazru, hani nami arig. So the Gemara says, look, if these woven items, even though they're dirty, if we're saying it the first way, that the only consideration is chatzitza, well, it's not a chatzitza, as we just got done saying. Because of the nature of a woven item, it can't be tied tightly to the skin, and so therefore there's not going to be a chatzitza. And the fact that it's dirty is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that it's not a chatzitza, and therefore it should be fine. Ulahach lishon da'amrat mishum kpeda. However, the issue is kpeda, that my sisters didn't care when they went to the mikvah, they kept it on. So the kevin de tanifa mikvah kapti alayhu. However, if it's dirty, they're not going to go into the mikvah while they're dirty. Why not? Now, Rashi over here does offer two pshatim, but Rashi prefers his first pshat, and I'm going to stay with Rashi's first pshat. It's not a mikvah issue. It's not a chatzitza issue. It's just that they don't want to get dirty, meaning it's still not going to be a chatzitza, but the issue is that they're not makpid. And if they're not makpid, so they'll keep it on. But if it's dirty, so that means that when they go into the mikvah, the dirt now is going to run into the body. It's going to run into the mikvah. It's going to run into the body, and they don't want to get dirty. So therefore, they would take it off. So if that's the issue, so then they would in fact take it off, and therefore we have to be concerned that once it's off, they're going to end up carrying it. It's going to carry Dal Amas Brishos Arabin. That is if I go with the second shot. Now, admittedly, Rashi over here does speak about this this nafkamin at length, because Rashi does offer another pshat, but that which I just suggested is the first way Rashi said it, and it's the preferred way that Rashi says it. Tanan Hasam. And here we're going to learn together a Mishnah in Mikvos. Ve'elachosis in ba'adam, this is going to be a chatzitza when a person is toiling in the mikvah. Chute tzemer v'chute pishtan v'aretzus sheberoshe habanos. So the strings made out of wool and that of linen, and other straps that are in the heads of the young girls. Rabbi Yehuda Amar called Semer Vishal Sear, Shel Semer Vishal Sear, Ein Chotzin Mipnei Shamayim Bayin Bahem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if it is strings made up either of wool or of hair, meaning we'll see in just a moment, but it's foreign hair, that it's tied into her hair, so that's not going to be a chatzitza because there's room for the water to go through the strings, and therefore it is not a chitzitza according to Rav Yehuda. That is the Mishnah in Mikvos. Now, on this Mishnah, Amar Rav Huna v'kulam b'roshe habanos shaninu. Now, you go back to the position of the Tanakhama, and let's reread the Tanakhama's view. Elu chotzesim ba'adam, these are going to be chitzitza by a person, chutei tzemer v'chutei pishtam v'haritzu sheb'roshe habanos. And the straps in roshe habanos. What one could have suggested is that chutei tzemer v'chutei pishtam are not in the hair, they're somewhere else in the body. You could have said that. Rav Huna says, don't say that. Rav Huna says that the Haritzu Shebereshe Abanos is modifying everything in the Mishnah, meaning that when it comes to strands of wool and linen, we're talking about tied into the hair. Now, in a moment, we'll explain why that's important. Maskav Rav Yosef, Lemutemai. So Rav Yosef says, okay, let's say you're right. So now, what are you precluding? Meaning by Rav Huna, you saying that the modification that all these straps are going in the hair, what you mean to say that if it were somewhere else, that'd be a problem. Now, let's understand what does that mean. Oh, so let's say the straps are tied around the neck. And we're talking about now wool tied around the neck. So some sort of wool strap now is tied around the neck. So the Gemara says it's just difficult to imagine. Meaning if we have wool, which is soft in nature, tied around hair. Now, the strands of hair are brittle in nature. Each strand is brittle. And if you say that that is going to be a chatzitza, racha gabi rach mi baye, so if it's something soft, meaning the wool, tied around the neck, which is soft, so for sure that's going to be a chatzitza. Meaning by virtue of the fact that they're both soft, it gives you the opportunity to tie tight around the neck, and for sure that's going to be a chatzitza. Ve'el lemute dechute pishtan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe talking about flax. Now, flax, the Gemara assumes, is more brittle in nature. It's a harder substance. Hashta kasha gabi kasha chotzitz. Now, if according to the Tanakhama, putting hard against hard is going to be a chatzitza. Kasha gabi rach mi bayi, so putting hard against soft for sure is going to be a chatzitza. So Alam Rav Yosef Hainu Tamid Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef says, no, we misunderstood Rav Huna. And that is Lefishe in Isha Choneket Atzma. No, the reason why it is that Rav Huna does not allow you to tie these things on your neck and go into the mikvah while these things are tied on your neck is because typically they were tied really tight along the neck. A woman ties them really tight around the neck. Sorry. In a moment, we're going to say that. But right now, we're saying just the opposite. Ein isha chonekes atzma. A woman does not choke herself. And so therefore, just by virtue of the fact that she does not want to choke herself, so when she ties them around her neck, she's going to allow room. And because now there's going to be room, that's why it's not going to be a chatzitza. And now, when we go back to the Mishnah, and you reread the Mishnah, so this is how Rav Huna understood the Mishnah. Again, we're just going back to the Tanakhama. The following are going to be chatzitza when it comes to a person toveling. And we say person over here, let's just focus on the woman toveling. And that is that when she has chutei tzemer, chutei pishtan in her hair, so that's going to be a chatzitza because it's tied tight into her hair. As opposed to if she were to take it and tie it around her neck for whatever reason, because a woman doesn't choke herself and leaves a loose fitting around the neck, so therefore she can tovel when she goes into the mikvah with these items that are around her neck. That's all how we're reading the Mishnah according to Rav Huna. Eisvei Abai. So Abai says, okay, that's fine. But now let's take a look together at another Mishnah. A woman can go out with strings in their ear. We'll learn later on that the girls, what they used to do is they pierce their ears, and in order to make sure that the holes don't close up, so they put a string through the hole in order to make sure that the hole does not close. But they cannot go out with chavakim shebetzavareim, but they can't go out with these chavakim on their neck. Now, chavakim around the neck are, we're going to assume, some sort of collar, some sort of choker that's around the neck. Now, if we're going to be assuming, like Rav Yosef just taught us moments earlier, that a woman does not choke herself when she ties something around her neck, so am I low? So what's the issue? Meaning, why does the Mishnah tell us that she cannot go into the mikvah? Well, it's going to be the same point. She can't go on Shabbos because she cannot go into the mikvah with this on, and that is the chavakim shebetzavareihim. The chavakim shebetzavareihim is something tied around the neck, and as we just got done reporting, that is something that's not going to be tied on tightly. It'll be tied on loosely, and it should be fine, meaning it won't be a problem going into the mikvah, and as a result of that, there should be no problem with a woman wearing them on Shabbos and going out with them on Shabbos. So am I alone? So I'm a Ravina. So in answer to this, the Gemara says, quoting Ravina, so hacha b'kitala askinan. Oh, here we're talking about a kitala. Now Rashi describes it as a bib. Take a look at Rashi where he goes into detail in terms of describing this bib, but as we're going to see in the Gemara itself, let's read the Gemara. Hacha b'kitala askinan de'isha choneke sasasma de'nichala shetir kebalas basar. When a woman puts this bib around her, Rashi describes how there are loops that are tied to her shirt, and the bib goes into the loops, and the bib ties around the neck, and she ties it tight. Now here, she's going to deliberately go out of her way to tie it really tight. Why? So it is interesting, and it is also cultural. And that is back in the good old days, so a woman showed her beauty off by showing that she had a little bit of weight to her. And by tying the bib tight around her neck and basically exposing a double chin, so that was attractive. And back in the day, a woman who was heftier in size, it was a woman that was viewed as more attractive. She was viewed as healthier, more attractive. And so therefore, the bib was tied tightly specifically to show off that she did in fact have a little heft to her. Obviously, times have changed, but nevertheless, in the time of the Gemara, that was something which was desired. And as a result of that, in specific to the bib, so that was torn tightly. If it was a choker that was worn ornamentally, so that was not tied tight around the neck. For whatever reason, which I'm not really sure I can explain, only when she was wearing the bib did she want to show off her double chin. But in general, when she wasn't wearing a choker, so it was just an article of jewelry, and she didn't want to choke herself. So Rav Yosef is right. A woman's not generally going to choke herself, but this mission that we quoted regarding this particular item, the chavakim shebetzavareha, that's talking specifically about the bib, where there, the culture back in the day was they specifically went out of the way to choke themselves. And that's why she cannot go out with it on Shabbos, because she can't go into the mikvah with it, because she's going to have to loosen it, and she may end up carrying it for amas in a rishus harabim. Okay. Now, let's go back to that Mishnah in Mikvos. That Mishnah in Mikvos presented two positions, one of the Tanakhama and the other of Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara now is just going to be restating the Rav Yehuda's position. We're on the top of Nizayin and Beis. Rav Yehuda Omer, Shel Semer v'Shel Seir, Ein Chotzitzin Mipnei Shahamayim Ba'in Ba'en. Rav Yehuda says that a woman wearing either the strings of wool in her hair or that of foreign hair tied into her hair, woven into her hair, so that is not a chatzitza because the water goes in. Now, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha to Rav Yehuda. Now, here the Gemara tells us that the Halacha, in fact, is going like Rav Yehuda, b'chute seir, but specifically to chute seir, meaning that when it comes to her tying up her hair using other women's hair, so on that, so the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, and that is that it's not going to create a tight enough knot so that it will prevent the water from going in. There will be ample room for water to go in. Remember, as we described earlier, it's kasha al gabe kasha. That's hard against hard, and that's just simply not going to be tight enough where it's going to impede water from going in. And the Gemara says that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda, but only specific to hair, meaning not by the strands of wool. Now, Amalei Abayi, so Abayi, when he hears this ruling that was just given by Rav Yosef, so Amalei Abayi, Abayi says to Rav Yosef, halacha mechlad de pligi. Now, you're saying the halacha is like Rav Yehuda when it comes to a woman tying up her hair using other hair. Now, that makes it sound like the Tanakhama argues. Now, v'chitema ilav deshamina mitanakama de ari b'chute ser, iunami lo hava mairi. Now, maybe you'll argue. Now, if you go back to the Mishnah that we just quoted in Mikvos, so the Tanakhama doesn't mention anything regarding hair. But what the Gemara is suggesting right now is, well, where did Rav Yehuda hear about hair? Meaning he must have heard it by the Tanakhama. Now, obviously, it's odd that the Tanakhama didn't mention hair, but he must have heard it from the Tanakhama. And what he must have heard from the Tanakhama is that it's Aser. And Rabbi Yehuda was responding is that it's Mutter. That's what the Gemara is proposing. But the Gemara says, but you don't have to read the Mishnah that way. And you're reading into the Mishnah. And in fact, you could read the Mishnah a totally different way. So Vidilma, the Gemara suggests, no, maybe the way to read the Mishnah Mikvaos is the following. Kishim ka'amar lehu. That the proper way to understand the Mishnah is that what Rav Yehuda is saying is just like. And what does it mean, just like? So here's what Rav Yehuda meant. Ki heich demodis libichute se'ar. Meaning, you agree with me with hair. In other words, we're on the same position. That if a woman tied up her hair with other hairs, so that's kasha gabe kasha, and you agree with me that that's not a chatzitza, and once that's the starting point of our discussion, meaning we're going to start now with the part where you agree with me, so odoli nami bechutei tzemer, so let's agree also with chutei tzemer. That if a woman were to tie up her hair with wool, so that too would be considered not a chatzitza, just like hair on hair. Now, the Gemara doesn't end the sentence, but what the Chachamim would say back to Rav Yehuda is obviously we don't agree. And the reason why we don't agree is because tying hair with hair, that's kasha al gabi kasha, and that's not a chatzitza, but semer is softer. That's rach al gabi kasha, and that is going to be a chatzitza. And so that could be the way to understand the Mishnah, and if that's the correct way to understand the Mishnah, so it comes out now that they're not arguing regarding hair, and they both agree. So when the original statement that was proposed by Rav Yosef is that the halacha follows like Rav Yehuda when it comes to a woman who is tying her hair using other hair, and says the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, so that is imprecise because Rav Yehuda is not the only one opining and taking that position. The Chachamim agree with that as well. Okay, so the Gemara basically lands on the idea that if it's kasha gabi kasha, that's not going to be a chatzitza. If it's racha gabi kasha, so we have a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. Itmar Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Modim Chacham LeRav Yehuda Bechutei Seir, and the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Nachman that in fact he understands it the way we just presented, that when it comes to a woman tying her hair using other hair, that is not going to be a chatzitza, and that is agreed to by everybody, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Nami Hachim, we're going to have a brisa supporting this as well. Chutei Tzemer Chotetzin Chutei Seir Ein Chotetzin, that if the hair is tied up with other hair, that is. Let me do it in the right order. If hair is tied up with wool, that's going to be a chatzitza. If hair is tied up with other hair, that's not going to be a chatzitza. That's the Tanakama. And Rav Yehuda Amar, Shal Semer V'Shal Seir, Ein Chotzitza. And according to Rav Yehuda, both Semer and Seir is not going to be a chatzitza. So again, just like we said, that when it comes to a woman tying hair with other hair, that's not going to be a chitzitza according to everybody. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Masisa Nami Deka. And in fact, if you read the Mishnah really carefully, the Mishnah upcoming, we haven't seen this Mishnah yet, so the Mishnah also is going to be Medayik. Diktani, the Mishnah says, Yotze Isha Bechutei Seir, Bein Mishala, Bein Mishel Chavirta. The Mishnah says that a woman can go out with Chutei Seir, whether the hair that she's using to tie up her hair actually belongs to her or belongs to a friend. Now, money ilema Rabbi Yehuda filu chutei tzemer nami. Now, if the position of the Mishnah later on is going like Rabbi Yehuda, why stop at hair? Why not also mention chutei tzemer, which would have been a bigger chiddush? Elalav rabbanin he, so it must be the chachamim v'shman mina bechutei seir lo pligi shma mina. And you see that there is no debate when it comes to chutei seir. Both the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are in agreement that by chutei seir, a woman who can go out with it on Shabbos because it's not going to be a chatzitza. Adkan, that takes us through the first sugya of the Gemara regarding the chutim or the strands that a woman is tying into her hair. Continuing in the Gemara, lo betotafos, a woman cannot go out with totafos, my totafos. Now, what is totafos? Obviously, we are familiar with the word totafos as it relates to tefillin. The Torah describes that a man is to put on totafos, but obviously over here, when describing totafos as it relates to one of the jewelry pieces of a woman, obviously we're not talking about tefillin over here, so it must be referring to some sort of jewelry piece, and what is it exactly? I'm Rav Yosef Chumrata de Katifta. So Rav Yosef gives a definition, and quite understandably, none of us know what is being described over here. If you take a look at Rashi, Chumrata de Katifta, Rashi writes, Kesher she'usim l'refuas kituf, ayin hara shelo tishlot. So, it is some sort of strap. In other words, the word totafos obviously is referring to some sort of strap, right? We know that by the tefillin. And it was for the purpose of refuah. A woman would be wearing it because she's not feeling well, and she was given this strap. Now, what is in the strap? So it's not totally clear. But it is there to ward off the ayin hara, so that ayin hara will not have effect on that person. So we've seen already that in the previous parak as well. And they were, at the time of the Gemara, big subscribers to ayin hara, and they had different types of disciplines in terms of how to ward off the ayin hara. So Rav Yosef says that's what the Totafos is being described in our Mishnah. So Amar Le'Abaye, really opposes this definition. To have a kamei mumcha v'tishtare. So we're going to see later together in the parak that if it's a kamei mumcha, we touched on this idea back in the previous parak, but we're going to see this upcoming in our parak that a kamei mumcha, that if the amulet is written by a professional, somebody who really knows what he's doing and understands the arts of writing kamei, he is already a proven kamei writer. So then a woman can go out with that on Shabbos. So if this is essentially the same thing, so why wouldn't a woman be allowed to go out with an Shabbos? So Amar of Yehuda Mishmei Dabai, so the Gemara now gives a second shot of what Totafos is. Admittedly, the Gemara over here is a little bit strange because it's Rav Yehuda saying it in the name of Abai. Rav Yehuda was an earlier generation Amora. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Shmuel. Abai was about the middle of the Tkufa of the Amoraim. So the attribution over here is a little bit strange, but Rav Yehuda over here could be a different Rav Yehuda, but anyway. So he says apuzaina. So he describes it as an apuzaina, and it is some sort of band that's worn on the front of the head. Or let's say a little bit better, a little more succinctly, a headband. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara now, is going to quote a brisa supporting this as well. Yosasisha besavcha hamuzuhavos. A woman can go out with a svacha that is gold, that's plated with gold. The svacha is basically the hat or whatever, the basic head covering that was worn by the women. As we're going to be seeing over the course of this parak, a woman wore a number of things on her head in addition to the standard head covering. The svacha was basically the standard head covering, and even though it was adorned with gold, it was plated with gold, nevertheless she's allowed to wear it because that is her basic head covering and she's not going to take it off as she's going in the public. And uvetotafos, and she could also go out with totafos of a sarvitin hakavuin ba. So, and sarvitim, as long as it's kavua, as long as it is affixed. Under those circumstances, a woman can go out with it on Shabbos. Ezu totafos ve'ezu sarvitim. What exactly is totafos? What exactly is sarvitim? Amar Rabbi Abba, totafos mukafos lami ozen la'ozen. So the totafos is a headband that goes from one ear to the other, basically over her front of her head, over her forehead. And sarvitim amagiyin la ad lechya. And the sarvitin are some sort of decorations, ornaments that are worn, basically hanging down from the svacha and goes in the front of her face. Culturally, something that we don't do, but in the Eastern culture, this is still done. I'm Rav Huna, anioso senoso shalminet sivonim. Rav Huna now just simply comments that the poorer of the women would be wearing colored ornaments, and now shiros, and the wealthier women, osenoso shal kesef vishal zahav, they would be made up of silver and gold. Velo bekavol. We're up to now the kavel. Now, the only thing that we already noted regarding the kavel, we haven't defined it yet, and we're about to do so now. We're going to start the kavel discussion right now, but it's going to go well into tomorrow's daf, and that is that the kavel could be worn within the chatzar, cannot be taken out to the Rishos HaRabim. Rashi wrote back in the Mishnah, we did this already, but let's just remind ourselves that the reason why the Chachamim allowed a woman to wear the kavel in the chatzar is because Chachamim wanted to give women at least something to adorn themselves on Shabbos, and so therefore this is a small dispensation given to the women that they could wear the kavel into the chatzar. Of course, they cannot wear it into the Rishos HaRabim as it falls under the gzera, but a small exclusion within the gzera itself. What is the kavel? So that's Gemara's discussion. Amar Rabbi Yanai kavel zeh in yodea mahu. So Rabbi Yanai says, I'm not sure what the kavel is, and I have a couple of possibilities. I kavla da'avda, tanan. Are we talking about basically some sort of emblem marking your status? Rashi describes kavla da'avda, chosam she'osam le'eved b'ksuso. So it was some sort of insignia that was worn by an eved on his garment. L'simon ho'chachashu eved, and it proves to everybody that he's an eved. Okay, so it was some sort of badge that was worn on the clothing, signifying that you were an eved. That's possibly what the Mishnah means, aval kippah shel tzemer shaper dami. But if it's a kippah shel tzemer, that would be fine. The kippah shel tzemer, some sort of additional head covering, even though it was made out of wool, that would be fine. A woman wouldn't take it off because she'd be showing off her hair. Oh, dilma kippah shel tzemer tanan. Or maybe the kavla is a kippah shel tzemer. And maybe that is something that a woman cannot go out with. V'kosha kin kavla davna. Now, if a woman cannot go out with a kippah shel tzemer, meaning if the gzera is going to be covering the kippah shel tzemer, for sure it's going to be covering the kavla davna as well. Now, the kippah shel tzemer, a woman would generally not take it off, but as we pointed out, a woman wore a number of things on her head. And the svacha was the base cap, the base hat that was worn, and the kippah that we're describing over there is something worn on top of that. So there is a chance that a woman would take it off and not run the risk of having to expose her hair. So the Gemara says, so what Rabbi Yana is saying is, I'm not really sure what the couple is making reference to. Amar Rabbi Abba, Mistabra Kamanda Amar Kippah Shot Semar Tanan. So Rabbi Abba says that I think that the kavul mentioned in our Mishnah is a reference to the kippah shel semer. It's this wool cap that is worn. Tanan v'tanya. Nami hachi. And we have a brisa supporting this as well. Yosei isha b'kavul. A woman is allowed to go out with kavul. Uvi istama l'chatzer. So she could wear the kavul and she could wear the istama into the chatzer, which means that she can only wear into the chatzer, but she cannot wear beyond the chatzer. Now the istama, we don't know what that is yet. That is going to be discussed at the very end of the daf. But anyway, but we are going to get the sense from this brisa that the kavul is in fact the kippah shel semer, the wool cap on the head. How do we see that so far in the brisa? Well, right now we don't see that in the brisa, but it'll become clear as we go through the brisa. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer af bekavul l'rishus harabim. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar says that a woman could take her kavul, she can go out into the Rishos Rabbim, klal amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, let me give you the basic rule. And kol shehu lamata min hasvacha. Look, there's the hat that's worn by the woman, the svacha. And again, that's the basic covering that is worn by the married woman in the time of the Gemara. So anything that's worn below it, yotzin bo. A woman can go out with it. Meaning that if it's the kind of head covering that's generally worn under the svacha, so in order for her to take it off, she's going to have to take off her svacha, and therefore Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar argues, a woman's not going to be taking off her svacha, and she's not going to be taking off anything underneath it as well. This wool cap is generally worn under the svacha, and because she won't take off her svacha, she won't take this off as well. This is all the argument of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And kol shehu lamala min hasvacha, any kind of head covering that's worn above the svacha, ein yotzin bo. So a woman cannot go out with it, because since it's worn above the svacha, so easily she could take it off and not run the risk of having to expose her hair. That's all according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And obviously the Tanakhama disagrees. And not only does the Tanakhama disagree, but our Mishnah disagrees as well. Anyway, but clearly what we got from this entire give and take over here is that they're clearly dealing with something that's worn on the head. So contextually now we see clearly, and this is Rabbi Abba's point, it's from this Mishnah you see that the kavul is specific to the something worn on the head. It's the kippah. It's this wool cap, and the wool cap was generally worn underneath the svacha. And the point is that the debate is whether or not she would be apt to take it off or not take it off. Okay, but it certainly seems that way that we're talking about the something worn on the head. Now we did mention the istama, so my istama. So the Gemara now wants to take a moment to describe what it is. Amar Rabbi Abahu bizyoni. Okay, good. It's bizyoni. My bizyoni. The Gemara now notes that the second definition is not helpful. Let's go with the third definition. Amar Rabbi Amar of Kalyei Pruche. Kalyei Pruche, Rashi describes it as basically something that covers up all the hairs that are leaking out of her head covering, meaning that she has a general head covering on, but their hairs are leaking out, and so that what this istami does is it basically covers up the extra hairs that are coming out. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara is going to be quoting a brisa. We're going to be, let's do the brisa now. Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Dvarim, Nemru B'Istami, there are three things for said regarding the Istami. Ein ba mishum kalayim, it is not subject to the Isra of kalayim. Meaning, even though it may be made out of wool and linen, it is not subject to kalayim. Now, Rashi over here writes, the reason why is because it is not woven together. It is just simply matted together, and if I have wool and linen that are just matted together, it's not subject to kalayim. Now, Tosfos takes exceptional issue to this. You could see the lengthy Tosfos over here, where he discusses whether or not there's any kind of rabbinic injunction against wool and linen that's matted together. But anyway, we're just going to stay right now with Rashi. And on top of that, says the Gemara, Einam Atame B'Negayim, it's also not going to be subject to Tumas Negayim. By Negayim, it has to specifically be a beged. It has to be something which is woven. And over here, this is just matted wool and matted linen, and therefore, it is not subject to Tumas Negayim. And finally, Ein Yotzin Bo L'Rishus Harabim. And you cannot go out with it to a Rishus Harabim. The Istama is something also that a woman is apt to take off, and so therefore, she cannot go out to it with the Rishus into the Rishus Harabim. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Amru, Av Ein Ba Mishum Ataros Kalos. And in the name of Rabbi Shimon, they said that this istama is not going to be subject to the general prohibition of Ataros Kalos. Rashi on the top of Nun Ches Amad Alv explains that there was a general gzera made since post-Khorban, since the destruction of Baisheni, so a number of things that were not allowed to be worn because we wanted to diminish the amount of simcha we express both in music and in the way we present ourselves. And so therefore, in many ornamental types of articles of clothing and jewelry are not to be worn because of this general gzeira. But this istama is not falling under the ban of the Ataros Kalos. And therefore, a woman could in fact wear them even in a post-Khorban world. Let's quickly recap the daf. We started off the sixth parak, and in doing so, we basically tried to highlight what exactly is the parameters and the definitions of what a woman can and cannot go out with on Shabbos. Meaning over here, we're talking about all different articles of clothing and jewelry and accessories that are worn by women. And under certain circumstances, the Chachamim banned a woman from going out with it on Shabbos. As Tosfos points out, anything which is an ikar mablish, anything which is essentially clothing, the Chachamim made no such ban. It was only on smaller accessory jewelry type items. And specifically, the concern is that if a woman is going to be motivated to take them off in the Rishus HaRabim, either because she's going to want to show it off, or because it's going to present a chatzitza when she tovels in the mikvah, or because it is somehow embarrassing for her to wear it in public, and she therefore is going to be taking it off, I know the obvious question. If she's embarrassed, why would she put it on in the first place? But again, I think the examples that we see later on are going to explain this a little bit better. But anyway, for these three concerns, the Chachamim said that certain accessory items cannot be worn out into the Rishus HaRabim, nor into the Chatzar as well. And the Mishnah went through a listing. On the first Amud, we dealt extensively with the first items mentioned in the Mishnah, the Chutei Tzemer, the Chutei Pishtan, and the Ritzuos, the various strands that were tied into her hair, strands of wool, strands of linen, other types of straps that are tied into her hair. A woman cannot go out with it. And as we learned together, that was a chatzitza issue. Because when tied into the hair, they present a chatzitza, therefore a woman cannot go out with it. On the Amud Aleph, we discussed what if a woman ties her hair up with other hair. This is what's called in halacha kasha agabi kasha, using a hard substance to tie up another hard substance. Does that create a chatzitza? And what we concluded in the Gemara is that no, it does not. And this is according to everybody, both according to the Tanakhama and according to the Shita of Rebbe Yehuda. As we go to the Amud Beis, we finished off that discussion of kasha gabe kasha, and we moved on to discuss and define other parts of the Mishnah. We went over totafos. Totafos, the Gemara has a debate exactly what it is, but the Gemara basically concluded that it's some sort of headband that basically goes from ear to ear. The Gemara described a kabbal, and we concluded today with what is the definition of a kabbal. And right now, we at least went over one shot of what the kabbal is, according to Rabbi Abahu. It's a wool cap that's worn under her hat. And there is a debate amongst the Tanaim whether or not a woman would be apt to take it off in the Rishus HaRabim to show to a friend. According to the Tanakhama, there is that concern, that there is that consideration. Therefore, it falls under the Gzera. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, in the Braisa, he says that a woman is not going to take it off. It's underneath the Svacha. If a woman is taking it off, she's going to run the risk of having to take off the Svacha as well and expose her hair in Rishus HaRabim, which she will not do. And so therefore, we have a debate whether or not this falls under the Gzera of the Tachshitin on Shabbos. We'll stop here.